We're listening to Portland musician David Ornette Cherry. Find more of his music at davidornettecherry.com. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. Today I welcome back Devin Allen, co-artistic director of Our Shoes Are Red, the Performance Lab. She and co-producer Matt DiBiasio are performing a two-person play. It's called Good With People by David Harrower. It's set in a town in Scotland not far from the Faslane nuclear base. Two people have a chance encounter that brings up old wounds. The show runs June 8th through the 24th. And then in the latter part of the show, I preview my new one-hour documentary, Crossing East Relations. It's about the historic relationship between African-Americans and Asian-Americans leading up to Black Lives Matter and Asians for Black Lives. It airs next week, June 6th at 11 a.m. to noon. So stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KBOO studio live is Devin Allen. Hello, Devin.
Hi, Dee Mae.
She's the co-artistic director of Our Shoes Are Red, the Performance Lab. Welcome back to Stage and Studio. It's good to have you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. I'm thrilled to be here.
But you're still producing work. You're head of the acting and you're resident artist at PSU's School of Theater and Film. But you also produce work of your own, and through your company you started back a while ago on the East Coast, right? And
yes.
Before you moved to Portland.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you brought your company 90s. Here. Yeah. And the latest play you're producing and performing with Matt DiBiasio is David Harrower's Good With People. You know, I was curious to read that the play is set not far from this nuclear base, you know, where they keep a lot of nuclear missiles, and they've had a lot of mishaps
there. Yes, they have.
Do you know about this town? Can you tell us about this town and this base and their relationship there?
Absolutely. Actually, Matt and I went there last August. We went up to Helensburgh, Scotland. You can't tour the base, obviously, but we drove by it. And right nearby is the oldest peace camp in the world that's been ongoing in relation to that nuclear base. And the play, really, the cornerstone of the play is when that base went nuclear. So it was always a naval base, but then it expanded and went nuclear. And all these people came in to work with the nuclear weapons, etc. And it kind of split the town in two. There were the townspeople that didn't want it there because the tourism dried up. You know, you can actually look at photographs of the town before thriving and then boarded up. You know, because people didn't want a holiday where the nuclear weapons
were.
And the base is quite close to the town. It's very, very
close. 10 miles.
That's exactly right. Yes, great. Matt's character, Matt DiBiasio, plays Evan Bolt, who grew up on the base. He was a base kid. And my son, I play Helen Hughes, he was a town kid. So there was a great divide between the two. And there was an event between them where Evan Bolt severely bullied my child, and it turns out, it's uncovered in the play, that my child did some bullying himself in a way, yelling at them to get out of town. You don't belong here. There's also a class divide. So the town people are more middle class, provincial middle class. The base people were more working class. So it delves into all of this in a very subtle, beautiful way about what happens to a town when a big event happens, like a base going nuclear. What happens to the human beings, you know, not just, you know, what we think of, like the economy or, isn't that all? But what happens to those individual human beings?
Well, it's very life-threatening because I read that in 2013 to 2014, there were 99 radiation accidents concerning nuclear reactions.
This is right.
And 6 with nuclear weapons. And so you're talking about a lot of divides, the class divides and then divides between
safety.
People, but also just safety and fear and, you know, this imminent threat living right close to this town and these people.
And a valid fear. I mean, my mom, long ago in the late 80s, was one of the people evacuated from Pennsylvania during the meltdown when the nuclear energy melted down. They evacuated half, you know, a big portion of the state around Philadelphia and Lancaster. So, you know, it's sings home to me how we sort of take for granted, like, well, everyone knows what they're doing, that's safe, but not at all. They have valid fears and valid concerns. And the protests are still ongoing. They're not as, like many movements, they start out, you know, gangbusters, right? And then they sort of become pro forma. They march to the gates once a month, but they're still very active.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many tensions in this play. You know, you've got personal, and then you've got the town, and then you've got also just, you know, just the aspect of this issue of whether or not to have something like nuclear weapons right next to your town.
You're absolutely right.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guest is Devin Allen, co-artistic director of Our Shoes Are Red, the Performance Lab. They're producing David Harrower's Good With People. If you missed any of this show, or if you miss it, any of it, hear it again later today at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Devin, in Good With People, you talked about being the mother of a son who was bullied in school. How does this chance encounter with the man happen that bullied your son?
Oh, great question. Well, she's working at a small little hotel. She's kind of, probably a second manager. You know, she doesn't own it, but she's working there. And there's nobody in it. It's
empty. Because it's deserted, because there's no tourists.
There's
industry.
No tourists. She just has this job that doesn't, you know, with a skeleton crew, right? And he comes in as a, you know, he's come back to town for his parents' remarriage. And he's he'd been in Pakistan for a number of years. And she, as she's signing him in, she's so excited to have a client. But as she's signing him in, she recognizes him. And one of the things I love about the play that Harrower establishes is their encounter over a series of 8 scenes where they really, it's a beautiful play. There's so much hope in it because of their proximity and their willingness to engage with each other. They change each other in a really positive way. And that wouldn't have happened if the hotel wasn't empty. She would have been too busy.
Because they have a chance to talk now.
They really
have to. They have to.
They're kind of forced to. So the very thing that she hates, that the tourism dried up because of the base, is the thing that ultimately is their redemption by understanding each other. Because they start the play off very polarized. And as they move through these 8 scenes, they come to an understanding. And it really, kind of politically and socially, just something I've always thought, you know, it's proximity just helps so much, doesn't it? It's just that isolation that makes us invent things about each other, you know?
Well, I also think you have to find the silver lining, obviously, that, you know, despite the circumstances, that, you know, that the silver lining is there's some kind of resolution, you know, peaceful resolution between these two divided people. Something we can learn more about, you know, in these times, right? Peaceful resolutions.
Oh, gosh,
now,
yes.
You said you've been to Helensburgh, Scotland. So what is your Scottish dialect like?
Well,
how Scot are you?
You know, that's a great question. How Scot are you? Because, boy, they're very diverse, the Scottish dialects.
Yeah.
In fact, when Matt and I rolled into town, it was quite late, and we went to a takeout Indian restaurant right there at the waterfront, and they were still open. A lot of places were closed, and we went in, and first of all, it was just so great. I mean, there were these, you know, men from India, right, with these thickest Scottish, we couldn't understand what they were saying, you know, behind the, you know, we were trying to order, and we were like, and they were like, we're used to it, you know.
I can't understand what a lot of Scots sound like, too.
Well, that's, well, they had a Scottish dialect.
Yeah, they were Scot. Yeah.
They were Scot, right, they were Scottish, and it was so, you know, we thought, well, we can't do that dialect. No one will understand a thing, you know. So I ended up using the B&B lady we stayed with had a wonderful Scottish dialect with a little Celtic overlay. So there was a little Irish overlay, and it was very light. It was very light. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. So do you have a scene or a monologue that you can do for us? Can you set it up for us?
I sure can. This is actually opens the play.
Okay.
It's in a way a memory piece. So Helen's speaking to the audience and saying, the town should have been busy in July, but it wasn't. You know, we got our hopes up every year. And then she goes into kind of a reverie about what it used to be like. And that sets up his entrance, okay. Right?
So this is from David Harrower's Good With People, that from Our Shoes Are Red, the Performance Lab, and Devin Allen is reading.
We should have been busy, July. It was a time we should have been expected to be. The Glasgow Fair, the ancient Argyll intoning, they'll come, they'll descend, they'll spend money. They didn't. Blustery day after day, racing clouds, but still enough warmth in the sun, enough sparkling light to draw them out here to us. Ah, oh, we raise our hopes every year and we're fools. When I was a girl, the town swelled abundance. The shops stocked up, cafes steamed, and our fathers walked the roadside, so full were the pavements. Seagulls nested on litter like smooth white cannonballs. 5 butchers, 3 fishmongers, 7 petrol stations then. Oh, cinema too, skating pond, the memory stacks incessant. So little trace now. The ones that do make it stay an hour, 2 hours at most, afternoon trip or stopping off. Park on the front, pay and display and a wander. I watch them through the glass entrance doors of the hotel, the silent sliding doors, showing the kids where the family ghosts once holidayed.
Wow, those R's, I love dialects. I love, you know, as an actor, I love doing different dialects. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing how just changing the sound of an R in so many of the dialects just makes it, doesn't it?
It's everything,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 7 major sound changes. I'm using heavily 3 of them and mildly a couple of the others. So, yeah.
It's nice to break it down like that. How did you first come across Good With People?
Oh, good question.
I'm full of good questions
today. You are.
Today.
I guess that's what you do. I know, right?
I always think it's funny. No, that's a bad question.
I know. Terrible question. I'm not answering that. I know, right? Ask another. Well, I was in love with his play Blackbird, which, you know, won the Olivier Award. And that's another two-hander.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. Yeah, it's a full length. And when we, you know, the lab is, we don't have a season. I remember on the East Coast, we got pretty popular and were approached by some investors who said, you know, do you want a building? Do you want a full season? And I never did. I really just want to work with a certain group of people on incredible writing. And a lot of times when you have a season, you have to do some plays you don't necessarily want to do.
Well, you're in the business then, aren't you?
You're in the biz. Mm-hmm. You know, so we try to keep it. And there's upsides and downsides to that, of course.
I think that helps when you're working full time, frankly.
Oh, yeah. But I've always kind of wanted it that way. And I chose to work full time to balance that rather than go full out. Trying to keep it pure.
I totally get that, because then you're doing it because it's a passion project.
It's the love. Yeah. So I started looking around at his other plays, and I came across this play, just a little abstract about it. It's only been done once before. It was done in the Edinburgh Festival, and then that production was brought over to New York for a very short run. What is this? You know, it's quite short. It's a little, it's an hour. I thought, well, what is this little thing? You know? And I ordered it and read it, and I thought the writing was... You know, so there's a lot of plays today that are a bit, this is what I liked about your courtesan play, actually, because it didn't do this. They've got a message, but they're heavy-handed with it. So you feel like it's a kind of social work art, in a way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very preachy and very direct. And this is not my cup of tea. So Harrower manages to talk about these complexities that you so, you know, beautifully listed a while ago, in a very subtle, engaging way that really sneaks up on you. And to me, it's just a model of how to talk about
really heavy social issues,
things.
But through the stories of personal stories of people, which I always prefer as well. You know, if it's told really well, it sounds like that's what you're working on, right?
Yeah.
So this actually sounds like a perfect one-act play, because it's about under an hour or so.
It's just an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour show. A two-person play that's perfect for you and Matt, who happens to be your husband.
He does happen to be my husband.
But, you know, I always wonder, how is it working so closely? You're co-producing, co-directing, co-performing, together in this play. I mean, I think, you know, if my hubby and I were doing that much together, we'd be like, so how is that, you know?
Well, this is our first time co-directing together. We've been co-producing. Matt on the East Coast, he became a muse of mine as a director. I truly think he's a great actor.
He is.
Oh, I know. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I
and so are you.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more about him. I really think he's the real thing. And I started doing plays for him. I did Tom Paine for him and out here. He came out here. This is before we were more colleagues. He came out here to do Tom Paine with me years ago, and we fell in love doing it. And then, yeah, I directed him in a lot of plays. And then we started kind of co-producing. And at first, there was a pretty big learning curve, more for me than him, because I was just so used to controlling everything.
Because you were the artistic director, right?
I was, I was ground central, right? So it was a really good thing for me to work on kind of control issues and not micromanaging.
Yeah, I hear you.
Trusting, yeah. Right? Just trusting he's, you know, the person's going to do what they say, you know, so... But now it's quite good, and we find Puck is a time to go off and be on our own or go out with other people. So it's going pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah,
you know,
we love
and
it.
So I understand, you know, in your hopes and dreams also for Our Shoes Are Red, the performance lab, you also want to do Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. And is that like next year, or what are you thinking?
I think it'll be the following, because I think we're going to workshop it for a year and do it in an homage almost to Peter Brook. So bare room, you know, two ladders, five chairs, you know, we don't know yet.
So for people who don't know who Peter Brook is, Royal Shakespeare Company.
Yes, one of the great kind of living directors, Royal Shakespeare
kind
director.
Kind of reinvented how people do Shakespeare now. A lot of the contemporary Shakespeare really owes, you know, credit to Peter Brook's style.
Completely.
Because he broke all the stuff about, well, it's got to be Elizabethan.
That's right.
You know?
You've got to put your foot on a rock and
right.
say, what ho, my lord.
Wear,
you know what I mean?
You've got to wear leggings, right?
And pantaloons.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, his famous production was The White Box, Midsummer Night's Dream, where the Fairy Kingdom were very mean and were on swings above the audience's head, kind of trapezes, and that rocked everybody's world.
So, yeah, so you're going to workshop it and then produce it. I mean, that's a long investment there.
It'll
be interesting to see what you do. Our Shoes Are Red, the performance lab presents Good With People by David Harrower. The show runs Thursday through Sunday. June 8th is a preview, and June 9th is at the actual opening night, and it runs through June 24th. All shows are at 8 p.m. at Performance Works Northwest, a really nice intimate space that's located at 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue in Portland. I always like it when shows are not downtown, so that's awesome. Tickets available online at ourshoesared.org as well as at the door. And for more info, you can email. Now that's Our Shoes Are Red, so it's OSARLAB@gmail.com or call 971-727-5499. So, you know, it's always great to talk with you. In the last minute or so, what do you hope to do, you know, more for your dream kind of bucket list things for theater? Do you have a bucket list?
Well, yeah, who doesn't, eh? Gosh, I'd like to take you out for a drink and hear yours sometime.
I don't know if I have one,
actually. Oh, golly. Really?
No.
Well, you know, Matt and I went to the Edinburgh Festival after Helensburgh, Scotland. We went for the big festival. We saw a lot of plays, and we kind of fell in love with Edinburgh. So I started just getting the biggest fantasy of maybe every couple of years taking a little show over there, something really portable. So that was that. We'd like to grant write a little bit more. We just don't. We really get a wonderful RAC grant usually and make that work just so we could maybe expand things a little bit.
And maybe take the play, this play, to the Edinburgh Festival.
That's
the
right.
French Festival,
yeah.
Especially.
It would really work there.
For people who don't know, it's like the last 2 weeks of August. I got to do it a couple times. It's just wonderful.
It is.
You know, the whole city turns out. Oh. It turns into a theater venue. Every single place you can imagine.
600 theater companies over the month. Yeah, I acted there years and years ago, so it's quite a scene.
Oh, good for you.
It was great. It was great.
So that's on your bucket list.
It is. And I just want to give a little kudos to, we're working with just some lovely designers.
Yeah, you want to give a shout out?
Yeah. Philip Johnson is doing sound, and he just came in and fused the play.
God. Is it Jeff Woods that's doing the lighting?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. And just exceptional work. I mean, just fused the play so beautifully.
Yeah, and that space is, you know, of course, Linda Austin has been running that space and keeping it going and available.
And her husband's doing, her husband who knows the space so well is doing the lights.
Jeff.
Yeah.
So it's a good crew all around.
Yeah,
and
we're
I
really
recommend
lucky.
That space again, Performance Works Northwest.
Oh, thank
so
you.
One last shout out, Our Shoes Are Red, Performance Lab, Good With People, David Harrower. It runs through Thursday through Sunday, June 8th through the 24th, and it's at Performance Works Northwest. 4625 Southeast 67th Avenue in Portland. You know, Devin Allen, it's just always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you, Dima. Always a pleasure to talk with you, too.
And break legs on
Thank
the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Up next, we have a preview of my one-hour documentary, Crossing East Relations, which debuts next Tuesday, June 6th at 11 a.m. to noon. Before we get to that, though, I'd like to give a shout-out to something pretty special that's happening in Portland. The Theater Communications Group, which is a national organization, is holding its annual conference on June 8th through the 10th at the Hilton Hotel downtown in Portland. Now, the conference brings national and international theater artists and companies to converge in Portland for 3 days of workshops. It actually extends longer than that, but workshops, talks, discussions, and I'm personally interested in all the equity, inclusion, and diversity sessions planned for the conference. So it's a pretty big deal that Portland is hosting it. For more info, visit tcg.org. Now, for Crossing East Relations. You know, for more than a year, I've been working on a one-hour documentary that addresses the model minority myth. Now, that myth, that is an idea that Asian Americans have somehow risen above racism despite hard circumstances. It's actually a lot more complex than that, but I don't have a lot of time to go into it. That's why I'm doing a one-hour documentary. That myth is often used as a wedge between African Americans and Asian Americans historically. So as part of the 10th anniversary celebration of media rights, Peabody Award-winning series Crossing East, I've been producing this documentary as well as gathering more than 100 hours of oral history recordings for the Crossing East archive that we collected for that project. You'll hear interviews from people in Oregon for Crossing East Relations and also from people in the Bay Area to look at the historic relationship between African Americans and Asian Americans. So in this preview, you're going to hear first, this is the first time anybody's heard this, you're going to first hear from Anirvan Chatterjee. He's the co-creator of Black DesiSecretHistory.org that traces the history of South Asian and African American solidarity.
For me, growing up in the U.S., I actually didn't really kind of get any kind of a sense from school or from my larger American community that there was any kind of connection at all between African Americans and South Asians. I mean, those connections were something that I actually learned more from my Indian community, my South Asian community, that my parents or other people around me would say, well, of course, you know, like the Black Civil Rights Movement, they learned so much from Gandhi, you know, like, and that was something that folks were really proud of. For over a century, South Asians have been standing with African America. African America has been standing with South Asia. And the cultures of resistance that have come out of that are, it's a very best part of our tradition. And we just need to be able to step up and say, that is something that we need to be able to teach and share. And I'm really hopeful that for younger generations of South Asian Americans, that's a tradition that they too can step into.
Writer Scott Nakagawa of Change Lab.
Well, there have been waves of activism throughout our history since the 60s against this idea of the Asian American model minority that's led by Asian Americans themselves. I think today the difference is that what people are reaching for is a kind of solidarity politic that would join together Asian Americans with other people of color in order to challenge white supremacy in the United States. So there's a lot of promise there. I think that when we think about Black and Asian solidarity, we have to be careful, right? We tend to focus on those exceptional instances in which Black and Asian people have risen up in solidarity with one another in American history.
Malkia Amala Cyril, activist with Black Lives Matter in the Bay Area and executive director of the Center for Media Justice.
Asians for Black Lives was an incredible solidarity team for these individuals that have put their freedom on the line. Because obviously once you've taken that kind of civil disobedience, it'd be difficult to do more after that, especially because now you're in court, right? And you're on trial for the crime, or for what the court is calling a crime. And it was because we had the solidarity of Asians for Black Lives, also Bay Rising, which was at the time largely white folks, you know, who were standing in to offer solidarity, and others who were able to really stand up and be a front line for those folks that have put themselves on the line.
Ellen Choi of Asians for Black Lives in the Bay Area.
We both have a stake in this fight where we understand that if Black folks, you know, every inch of Black liberation that we are able to win will benefit and impacts our communities and our own liberation. But at the same time, we are also positioned in the United States to be in a position of power and have some leverage in our privilege as being uplifted as the model minority historically. And that myth, you know, that really destructive myth that the U.S. empire has really upheld, has put us in a position of power in this country in relationship to Black folks. And because of that, we also have more leverage, more access to those systems of power, and also more of a responsibility to step up. So I think we're trying to hold the balance of both of those sides of our identities in relationship to this movement. And so because of that, we also feel it's really important to put our bodies on the line alongside of Black folks.
Joanne Hardesty, president of the Portland chapter of the NAACP.
There will always be misunderstandings and miscues, and the best we can hope for is that people will ask forgiveness and then be open to hear how that misperception harmed the person that heard it, right, on both sides. It can be one where it happens in stages as people build comfort, as people build support, then you can move to the hard place. But I say this always, change only comes in the uncomfortable spaces, and so you have to be willing to be uncomfortable and to move forward.
That was a preview from Crossing East Relations with featured music from David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com. My one-hour documentary airs next Tuesday, June 6th at 11 a.m. to noon. It's called Crossing East Relations, and it's produced by Meteorites Productions for the Crossing East Archive Project, and I hope you can join me. That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to engineer Tave Fashe Drake. If you missed any of this show, listen again at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And you can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. American relations.
Throughout most of history, Asian Americans and African Americans have not stood up with each other. We need to recognize that those instances when Asians and African Americans and other people of color have risen up together are exceptional moments in U.S. history.
Crossing East Relations, a new one-hour documentary by Dee Mae Roberts, Tuesday, June 6th at 11 a.m. on KBOO, Portland.